More mergers are occurring in the defense industry.
The increased numbers of mergers really show a anticipation for slower growth in Pentagon spending and an increase in big-ticket items that take more R&D budgets, things like space systems and hypersonic missiles.
Plus, 10 states sue to block a proposed merger between Sprint and T-Mobile. And both President Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden hit the campaign trail in Iowa. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Before we get to our story on consolidation in the defense industry, here are some other top stories we're following today. A group of 10 state attorneys general have filed a lawsuit seeking to block the proposed merger between Sprint and T-Mobile, the nation's third and fourth largest wireless carriers. In the lawsuit, New York, California, Colorado, Virginia, and others argue the merger would lead to a rise in prices for cell phone services. The legal challenge comes as the Justice Department is reviewing the merger, worth more than $26 billion. Ajit Pai, chairman of the Federal Communications Commission, is supporting the deal after the companies agreed to divest Sprint's Boost Mobile prepaid service and invest in 5G infrastructure in rural areas. Former Vice President Joe Biden is on the campaign trail in Iowa the same day President Trump makes his second trip of the year to the battleground state. The Wall Street Journal's Ken Thomas has more from Ottumwa, where Biden spoke on Tuesday.
Joe Biden made the case today that President Trump's tariffs and trade policies are hurting Iowa farmers. He said they've been crushed by his tariff war with China and said that the president has only decided to back off his threat on tariffs on Mexico because he realized he was going to lose Michigan, Ohio, and Iowa. Joe Biden said that President Trump just considers American workers to be pawns. We're expecting President Trump to go after Joe Biden in a pretty direct manner. He's used Twitter repeatedly in the last few weeks to accuse Biden of being out of step with most Americans, of being someone who would be asleep at the switch. But this is going to be probably one of the first times we've seen the president in a campaign setting before a group of prominent Iowans go after the Democratic frontrunner and try to make the case that he deserves a second term and is leading the country in the right way.
President Trump speaks in Iowa later Tuesday. Be sure to check back on our website, WSJ.com, or the WSJ app for more details. Victims of 9/11 and their advocates descended on Capitol Hill on Tuesday to press Congress to reauthorize the September 11th Victims and Compensation Fund. Comedian Jon Stewart, a longtime advocate for survivors, blasted Congress for what he called indifference to their needs.
A filled room of 9/11 first responders, and in front of me, a nearly empty Congress. Sick and dying, they brought themselves down here to speak to no one. It's shameful. It's an embarrassment to the country, and it is a stain on this institution.
The Wall Street Journal's Gabe Rubin was at the hearing. He says Congress is likely to reauthorize the fund, perhaps for decades to come. Current legislation has more than 300 co-sponsors in the House.
The fund was initially started in 2010 and then was reauthorized in 2015. There were many comments about how, you know, these survivors should not have to come down to Washington every 5 years to beg for health benefits just so that this funding isn't cut off. And there seemed to be quite a bit of appetite from members of Congress to extend this for the next many, many decades until 2090, so that survivors can rest assured that their medical needs will be taken care of, that their families will be taken care of. Well, one of the reasons that this has been an issue is that the fund has attempted to do estimates of how many victims and the cost of their care and what that will be going forward. And they have significantly underestimated every single time, which just shows the challenge of truly calculating the impact of 9/11 until the claims are actually filed.
Medical experts say the death toll from 9/11-related illnesses will soon surpass those from the attacks themselves. The compensation fund says it has already paid out $5 billion to 21,000 claimants. Another 17,000 claims are currently pending. There's been a lot of consolidation in the defense industry over the past 2 years, even before United Technologies and Raytheon announced their plans to merge. Part of the reason for the number of tie-ups in the industry has to do with cuts to military spending. Joining me now from Washington to talk about more consolidation among defense firms is Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Kessling. Ben, the United Technologies Raytheon tie-up is the biggest aerospace and defense merger in recent memory. But as you write, there's been 2 years of deal-making in the defense industry. Remind us of some of the other mergers that have occurred in the past 2 years.
Well, you're right. There has been some consolidation recently as companies look to do more with scale and to be major players in the area. So last year, Northrop Grumman acquired Orbital, which helped them beef up their missile and space technology sector. General Dynamics had a acquisition to build up IT offerings. And as things become more technical, more based in the cloud, there's probably going to be more firms that do more to wrap up different business lines into a single business.
There's a statistic you cite in your piece for the Wall Street Journal that also caught my eye. Some 17,000 firms have left the industry over the course of about 15 years. That's a huge number. What are the reasons behind that?
There's a number of factors that go into that, but generally speaking, after the Cold War, there was a drawdown in budgets, which put pressure on firms to get out or to consolidate with each other. And then about the time that consolidations really started taking off in the 2000s, you had the kickoff of the wars that we still find ourselves in, so 20 years of war. And those wars have had to have weaponry that's high tech, takes a lot of skill, and helps to have a lot of integration to drive down pricing for yourself and to help build these things. So larger firms tend to do better in that environment.
President Trump has prioritized military spending, but you write that past cuts to spending and changes to military operations under the purview of the Pentagon have also fueled more mergers and acquisitions in the defense industry.
Right. So there's the way that the Pentagon does budgets now is there's essentially from year to year, nobody's ever really sure what the final budgets are going to be. So because of this thing called sequestration and continuing resolutions, the long and the short, without getting too far into the weeds on it, is nobody's really sure how much money is going to be available for programs at the end of the day. It's hard for companies to be able to plan forward to start new programs because they're not sure if the money that's available for those starts will carry through to the end. And a lot of firms end up just having to reinvest in stuff that already exists. So you just buy more of the stuff that's already out there. And as firms go forward, the Pentagon is looking for a much bigger spend on the part of the companies that are making these products to do research and development, to make big bets, to come up with those new technologies. So in the past, when the Pentagon used to invest a lot in research and development and share those costs with companies, now there's more of a look for the companies to make those bets themselves. And because this technology is so expensive, those bets have to be even bigger. And that means that a large company are really the only ones who can make those huge bets. And if one doesn't pay off, it won't bankrupt them.
Now, we've been asking the question about whether consolidation is good for the defense industry. And you spoke to experts on both sides of this issue. What did they have to tell you? And is there growing concern about limiting competition within the industry?
Well, the boring answer to that is there's a good and there's a bad to it. The more complicated answer is there's potential goods, potential bads. The potential goods are this could help save the U.S. taxpayer money by creating economies of scale. It could create larger entities that can do more research and development so that, like we said before, there's a need for bigger bets to be made on new products, and these larger companies can make those bets. There's also the ability for these larger companies to do more on the export front, so to do a better job of exporting U.S. goods. Now, the flip side of that is with fewer companies comes less competition. So that could drive prices up for the U.S. taxpayer as there's fewer choices to be made on this stuff. And it also, as on one hand, research and development might go up because these companies will invest more, but on the other hand, it might cause them just to double down on product lines that already exist and just try to sell more stuff that they're already making to the Pentagon, which could hamper R&D. Nobody's really sure which direction that's going to play out.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Kessling joining us from Washington. Thank you so much, Ben.
Thank you.
Now, onto some more headlines from the Wall Street Journal. Amazon is shuttering its restaurant delivery service in the U.S. The company had launched Amazon Restaurants about 4 years ago, offering restaurant delivery for Prime members in the U.S. and then the United Kingdom. Amazon shut the service down in the U.K. late last year and plans to shutter it in the U.S. later this month after the project failed to show growth against the competition, including Grubhub, Uber, and DoorDash. Amazon says employees of the U.S. operation have found other roles in the company or will be helped finding new positions. Missouri's sole abortion clinic has been granted a temporary reprieve by a circuit judge who has ordered the state's Department of Health and Senior Services to decide whether to renew the Planned Parenthood's license by June 21st, a decision the clinic could then appeal. Missouri lawmakers voted last week to ban abortion except in cases of medical emergency after 8 weeks of pregnancy. If the clinic closes, Missouri would become the only U.S. state without an operating abortion provider. White House National Security Advisor John Bolton is defending President Trump's tariffs against China. He spoke at the Wall Street Journal's CFO Network meeting in Washington, D.C. on Tuesday.
I think it's had an enormous economic impact inside China, and I think the prospect of more tariffs or continued tariffs has had a significant element on the thinking of foreign corporations and others who have put elements of their supply chain inside China.
Bolton is among several executives at the Journal's CFO meeting this week. For more highlights, including interviews with White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney and Education Secretary Betsy DeVos, head to our website, WSJ.com. And that's what's news for Tuesday afternoon. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.